Hey, Mosaic. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again this Sunday as we gather together to worship our Lord and our Savior. I know, again, it's via a camera and our website. Pretty soon, we'll be able to gather together in our own building, face to face, and worship our Lord and Savior together. But right now, this is what we have. So, this is what we're doing. My name is Rick Bonner, and I'm honored to serve as your discipleship pastor and to lead a team of God-honoring, Jesus-loving people who understand the concept of discipleship and understand its importance. You know, as we gather together on Sunday mornings, that is a form of discipleship. It's a form of actually molding us and shaping us into the image of Christ. But here at Mosaic, we have lots of spaces where we focus on discipleship. We have Bible studies, we have discipleship groups, we have missional communities, just to name a few. And our God is a communal God. And He has called us in and created in us a need for community. In fact, in Genesis 1, right after the creation, He goes to the very next chapter and God specifically says in verse 18, "It is not good for man to be alone." So we understand the need for community here at Mosaic, so we've created many spaces where that community can happen. In fact, in the whole sanctification process, which Renaud referred to just recently in one of his messages and fills our pages of Scripture, God will often use our Christian brothers and sisters to accomplish that process in our own lives. Our desire is for us to grow deep in our devotion and in our intimacy with God our Father. In fact, that's our vision for 2020 and beyond, for us to be able to follow in the way of Jesus, to believe the truth of Jesus, and to know what it really means to abide in Him every moment that God has us on the face of this earth. So what does that look like in the space that we live in today? Well, we're coming out of the quarantine and we're in phase one and we can meet in homes in small groups. We're not meeting in the church yet. We look forward to the time that we can meet in small groups in the church, and that'll be very soon, and we'll keep you posted on that. But for right now, we can meet in our homes. And so whether you're a missional community or a Bible study or a discipleship group, you're allowed to do that. And what we're encouraging you to do is just be respectful of the various sensitivities that people have for this social distancing. Some won't have a problem gathering together. Some are just not quite there yet, and that's okay. So we still have our Zoom accounts, which will allow us to be able to connect those that are not ready to meet yet in person with those that are. So take advantage of that, and we can help you with that. Also, during this summer, we've got a couple of equipping classes that we're offering. One is Mosaic Beliefs. It starts this Tuesday and will run through July. We also have a spiritual disciplines class that starts this Tuesday and will run through the end of June. And you can register for either one of those classes on our website. Also, we're encouraging small groups. And if you're not part of a small group, get a small group, a team of friends or whatever, to access a video off of Right Now Media and just delve into it. See what it has to offer. Maybe it's something you're passionate about or something that you're just interested in. But take advantage of that resource. And if you don't have a Right Now Media account, I would highly encourage you to go onto our website and to register for that account. This is our gift to you. Right Now Media is a video library of over 20,000 Christian videos of high quality nature that focus on discipleship and growing in Christ. What I'd like to do right now is to close out this introduction and to move into our worship. And I'd like to read from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He has made it. His hands form the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Mosaic, we've been given an incredible privilege to be able to come into the throne room of God. He is sitting on His throne as He invited us in. And we have the honor and the privilege of being able to worship Him and to praise Him and to just lift up His holy name. We have been invited to sing praises to Him, to make a joyful noise. And if you're like me and you can't sing, make a joyful noise. Because I guarantee you, it's music to His ears. And it's an honor for us to gather together and to worship our God and Savior. Let's do that right now.
God has done great things, and we believe that He will do them again. But we also confess that if our God never does another thing for us, He is still worthy of our praise. You see, as believers, we have tasted and seen the goodness of our God. We have come to know the love of God in Christ Jesus for us, that he would send his son to live the life that none of us could live, a life of perfection, and to die the substitutionary death that you and I deserve, so that he could restore our relationship with our God, and so that we could walk in the freedom of Christ. This is our hope. This is our comfort, that our God would love us this much to do that for us. The Apostle Paul, in praying for his friends at the church in Thessalonica, he wrote these words. He said, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." Hear that. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father loved us so much that he gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. If you find yourself today in a place where you have tasted and seen that our God is good, and you have come to know the good grace of Jesus Christ, but maybe you're grasping for hope, or maybe you're struggling to find comfort, know this, hear this truth, that our God loves you so much that he has given you an eternal comfort and good hope, a comfort and a hope that cannot be swayed or taken away by your current circumstances or your reality. So find your hope in Jesus Christ, who loves you. Let's continue to lift high his name. Magnified in our lives. God, that you would be lifted up in our praise and honored by the way that we live our lives. We know that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We are people set apart for you. So today we take this time to remind ourselves the truth of your word, the truth that you have loved us so much and given us a hope that you are worth all of our lives and all of our worship. So we will not be like this world. We will not bow to idols or be formed by feelings. We will be obedient and bow to your truth, to your word, because we love you and you deserve all of who we are.
Christ be magnified in me. that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Father God, we praise you today. We come from wherever we are to join together to sing your praise, your honor, to give our affections to you, for you are worthy. It is of such great comfort and hope to remind ourselves and one another of the good things that you've done. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for this community of believers. God, you are good, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, once again, Mosaic, it is so good to be with all of you on this Sunday as we prepare ourselves to enter into what God has for us in His Word by His Spirit. For many of you, as you know, we are in a space, at least here in Florida, for those of you here, where we are moving into the beginnings of getting back to what might be a version of normal. We are in a phase one part of the journey toward normal and hoping to get into phase two soon. And so there's this little bit of a sense of being able to get back out and seeing faces and being together. I know for me personally, getting to downtown Winter Garden and walking the streets on Saturday with a half of the farmers market back open and seeing people around, there's just this kind of deep sense of like, oh, it's so good to be together again, even if we have to stand a little further apart than usual and have that awkward moment of whether we reach our hand out or whether we give the hug, but probably not. Even though all that is there, just the sense of being face to face again just brings a relief. And I'm sure that many of you feel the same way, that you are ready to get back into some form of community. Now, I know some of you are saying, I'm an introvert. I've actually loved this. It's been fantastic. Yes, no doubt. Our differing personalities have different expressions of how we want to do community or how many people we want to do community with. But all of us have a deep sense of our need to belong, to be known, to be in community. Perhaps never before has an event displayed our deep need to be known and to be connected with others than this particular quarantine because of this particular virus. And so we enter into a space of recognizing that we were made as human beings to be in community. This is just a human thing. It is a part of our human need to be together in some form with someone or other people in some way. Isolation and quarantine away from other humans is very bad for the human soul. And so we now know. Community matters to the human being. But it turns out, biblically speaking, that community is far more serious and far more important than simply a thing that meets a human need. If all it was the meeting of a human need, it would frankly be enough to make sure we're in community. But it is deeper than you can begin to imagine. Community and the need to be in community is foundational to the very essence of our created purpose as human beings. We know this because biblically it starts in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis in chapter 1, when God is creating all of the created things, and he's doing this to display his creative power and his glory so that his glory might be made known, he writes this about us, the human race. In verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Listen to the plurality of that entire creation event, right? Let us create mankind in our image and let them have dominion over the earth. There was no part of our creation that was ever intended for us to be in quarantine or in isolation as a single human. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 26, literally we get to the end of the journey of creation. Adam is created and God bothers to make a declaration in Genesis chapter 2 after Genesis 1 saying, let us create them. And he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Again, not meaning that Adam was lonely without other humans, because at that point in history, he had a perfect intimacy with God in a tangible form, and God met all of his needs. But what Adam could not do alone was to live out his created purpose to be an image bearer of God. Why not? Because God exists in community. As one God in three persons, he embodies community. And so in order for us to display his image appropriately, we need to exist in community, except that I don't exist in community by myself. So the way God designed our humanity is that the only way we can fulfill our created purpose of being his image bearers fully is that we are in plurality, in community. Imagine that, that our very foundational created purpose cannot be fulfilled outside of community. Wow, community is important beyond just meeting our need. But it doesn't stop there. This calling of our purpose as a human race is so embodied in community that as we enter into the New Testament, we see there that Jesus, after he comes to this planet and he teaches us and he shows us and he demonstrates to us what our fulfilled purpose is now as we are redeemed by his great redemptive work, he reminds us in a brand new way that the essence of community is essential to the ability for us to live on mission for Jesus fully. Yes. I can, as an individual, do things that are missional for Christ. But at the end of the day, the way that Jesus shows himself to the world is actually through the us, not just through the me. And so we in community become the ambassador of Christ. How do we know this? Because in the scriptures, God describes us not as individuals as we display an ambassador Christ to the world, but as a unit. Listen to 1 Corinthians, what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members. So Paul is using our human body as a descriptor. Just as our human body is one body, here I am, and to function properly, this one body does many things. It is made up of many parts. So what Paul is trying to say is, functionally, this body can't do what it was made to do outside of its many parts. And any one part is not the whole body. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So as we come into the redemptive story of God through the gospel, by the Spirit of God, by the redemptive work of Jesus, we are baptized into, brought into, connected to His body. And His body is the collective of the church. Listen to what he says here in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, that's Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. So here we see the reality of biblical community is not just described as a means by which God fulfills our human need for community, but it is actually described as the very essence of how we live out our created purpose, both in Genesis as we were initially created, and then after our fall, being redeemed back into our created purpose. It is now through the body of Christ called the church that as we come together and we work individually in each of our individual parts together, we fulfill the mission of God. We bring glory to God. So I am gifted uniquely. You are gifted uniquely. Each of us have different personalities, different gifts, different talents, a different reality. And when we bring that diversity into the singularity of the church, we together display Christ to the world. Now, this takes a whole new level of wonder as Christ spends time at the end of his ministry on this planet before his death and resurrection, and he's describing to the disciples what it's going to look like to live out this reality as a community so that the world will know that we follow Jesus and that he is who he said he was. And he describes it in two extraordinary ways. And this brings us to the next level of why biblical community is non-negotiable if we want to live out the purposes to which we have been created in Christ. So listen to what he says here in John chapter 13. Jesus is hanging out with the disciples. He's at the Last Supper. This is the last moments before he's going to be arrested and then taken and crucified. And if you remember the story there, he gets down at one point, wraps a towel around his waist, comes through, and he washes all of the disciples' feet, which from a cultural perspective turned upside down what was the norm. The norm was that the master or the rabbi has his feet washed by the disciple. Now Jesus, the most masterful rabbi, washes the feet of the disciples. An act of humility and love that is extraordinary. After this act, this is what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So the new command is obviously not to love one another. It's not like the Old Testament was like, don't love each other. And then the New Testament's like, now start loving each other. It's that Jesus is saying the way you're going to love each other is going to expand beyond anything you were once capable of, because you're going to love each other the way I am loving you now, not just in the moment of washing your feet, but in the whole reality of my redemptive work for you. You are going to love each other this way. And then it says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So the command we are given by which people will know that we follow Jesus and by which people will come to know Jesus requires us to be in community. We cannot love one another if we are isolated from one another. We cannot do that. Now, this doesn't speak exclusively to gathering up in the same geography. We are very much able to love one another, even if we don't actually come into the same building all day long, all the time. But the second we begin to distance ourselves from one another in a way that causes us to be isolated, we cannot fulfill the new commandment that Jesus was giving his disciples, by which people will know that they follow Jesus. So think about this. We're created in Genesis with this purpose to display God in community so that we can image him properly. We are then redeemed back into that by being the body of Christ and him as the head and us in community, living out the mission of God and displaying the reality of Christ to the world. We do it by loving one another in community. And then listen to this. In the book of John, Jesus prays a prayer, right, for his disciples there. And then he expands that prayer into all who will follow him throughout history. So he says in John chapter 17, verse 20, I do not ask for this, for these only, the disciples there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's you and me, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may become perfectly, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. I mean, it is absolutely extraordinary to me that Jesus, in this Last Supper, says to the disciples, I have made you my body, I am the head, so that together you can function and live out the mission that I've called you to. That mission includes you loving one another, and I'm going to pray that in this loving one another and this being together, that you function as one unified force under the gospel. All of this language that is the essence of who we are as Christ followers requires community. It cannot exist outside of community. So the biblical reality of community is not just about meeting a human need. It is about the essence of who we are and how we are to live this out. Now, in the book of Acts, after the incredible event where the Spirit of God came down, filled his people, the disciples first, they preached the gospel. Thousands came to know Jesus by the power of the Spirit and the preaching of the word. They then received the Holy Spirit. And so we see this initial biblical community suddenly birth up. And listen to what it describes that to be like. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were all selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see this clear display of what happens when the purposes of God are fulfilled in us. When we are together and we are one and we are loving each other, then the world is in awe of us and therefore in awe of Christ. And they come to find out, what is this about you and who is this behind you? And they meet Jesus and many are added to their number. And so it perpetuates. It doesn't mean that as human beings, they didn't have some brutality. They didn't argue. They didn't disagree. We see even in this community very quickly that that was always a part of it. It is this beautiful understanding that what makes us common now is our common rescue by Jesus and our common belief in Jesus and our common life following Jesus, so that we will love one another and live on mission together because of what we now understand of the gospel and who we now are in Christ, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And so this is what makes us common, not our personalities, not our ideologies, not our ethnicities, not all those things are what make us diverse. But in this diversity brought together under one head, we are made common because we are one diverse body of Christ living out the mission of God. And then the world stands in awe of what they see. It is no wonder to me that the author of the book of Hebrews writes these words. Listen to this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So the redemptive work of Jesus made a way for us to enter the presence of God in the Holy of Holies so that we would have access to God and be able to live in intimacy with him. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus himself, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I mean, it is the perfect and most wonderful display of, because he's rescued you, come and be intimate with God. How could you be given a gift like that and then not utilize it every second of every day to say, I can be with God in intimacy. I'm going to walk in assured of my faith, assured in good conscience that he is my righteousness and so evil in me is covered by him, and assured of my brand new privilege and purpose to know God and make him known. But then it says this, listen to this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So what the author of Hebrews is saying is, considering this extraordinary gift, let us never forget all of that, because the second we forget all of that, we get distracted by the ongoings of our day, and we miss the opportunity to be consciously aware of our intimacy with God. And so we're all going to live in forgetfulness. So let us constantly hold fast to this confession of faith. Now, watch this. Okay, listen to this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So not only does he say, let us hold fast to this, but he says, in holding fast, considering this, not only now having intimacy with God so we can be with him, but living out our purpose of living on mission for God, let us remind one another and stir one another up toward the love and good deeds that have been ours now to go and live out to fulfill our created purpose that's been restored to us. And then he says this, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The clarity here that the author of Hebrews is giving us is that our life, our freedom, our beauty is when we remember the gospel, what God has done for us, and we live in view of that, and we live out of that in intimacy with him and on mission with him, so that we are abiding in him as we live our daily lives. But in order to continue to do that, we must be together, stirring each other up, reminding each other. And so please, whatever you do, don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but do it regularly. See, part of the purpose of biblical community, besides all of the things we've covered, is that we would be together to remind each other of the gospel so that we could live out as a gospel community and as gospel-carrying individuals. So, as we live out this gospel, as we walk in this gospel, we begin to realize that though every human being needs community because we were created by God to need to be known and to need to belong, community biblically is far more than just meeting that need. It is fulfilling our created purpose in Genesis. It is fulfilling our restored created purpose through the gospel that is described as being the body of Christ now, carrying Christ as ambassadors, ministers of reconciliation as a body, all functioning in our different parts. It is fulfilling the command of Jesus to love one another so that they will know. It is fulfilling the prayer of Jesus that we would be unified, functioning as one, so that they will know. It is displaying, as Acts chapter 2 does, what happens when a people in plurality fulfill the command of Jesus and fulfill the prayer of Jesus by being together as one, loving one another. And we see that that displays Christ. It reminds us that when we gather up, we are to remind each other of the gospel and remind each other of the mission that we have so that we can live it out. And if all of that occurs, then you and I as individuals and we as a collective body begin to display the wonders of the gospel to the world in extraordinary ways. Any one of those would be enough to say community is non-negotiable, but when you put them all together, it is mind-blowing. So it's no wonder that Paul, writing in the book of Colossians, writes these words. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now listen. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So Paul doesn't even know, as he's inspired by the Spirit, how to separate out us having our hearts full of compassion and kindness and meekness, living out the gospel without us doing it in community. It's like, put these things on so that as you live together, you would bear with one another, forgiving each other. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So again, he cannot separate out me from us. Everything in me that has been impacted by the gospel now impacts the reality of being part of one body. Now watch this. This is so cool. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So teaching is bringing new information to the table, teaching you the information we have, helping you understand. And admonishing is really it's almost like a reprimand, but not quite. It's me coming to you and saying, what you are up to is foolish. Let me call you back to wisdom. The admonishing is us daring to step into each other's lives and helping one another not to forget the gospel in our foolish decisions, but to draw each other back. So this biblical community is to teach each other and admonishing each other. In other words, our very refining process to make us like Jesus, which we've talked about, is the nature of the journey we're on this planet. As we participate with that, I don't just individually participate in my sanctification with the Spirit of God as He works in me, but we participate collectively in one another's journey by teaching and admonishing each other as the Word of Christ dwells richly in us. In all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Folks, I can't wait for us to gather back up as we begin the journey back into the spaces of normal gatherings. We've had a great time having these gatherings online. They have afforded us some privileges. They have reconnected us in some way to some of the people that are closest to us. They've given us time to be flexible on our Sundays, to choose when we're going to engage in worshiping together. They have probably allowed us to reach out to people that have a difficulty either getting to church or have not come to church. So many things have happened in these online gatherings that I am grateful for, but I am most grateful that they are temporary, most grateful that this is not our norm, because although we as a church, I think, have done community well, considering the realities in which we live, that when we gather up and begin to see each other face to face and begin to notice the nuances in one another's journey and begin to be able to teach and admonish one another in the lobbies as we have conversations and jump in, those spaces will begin to draw us back into the wonder and beauty, not just of community for the human race, but biblical community for the world to see Jesus. We were created in Genesis for community to display the glory of God. We were called into community by Jesus to be his body and display him to the world. We are called to love one another in community to show the world who Jesus is. We are called in this love for one another to be as one, to demonstrate to the world the power of Jesus, that they would know that God sent him. And we are called to stir each other up toward the mission of Jesus so that we can live it out as we have Christ dwell richly in our hearts and the word of Christ richly in us, and we admonish and teach one another into the beauty of the gospel so that we will hold fast to the confession of our faith and be constantly in awe of the privilege we have to be with God in intimacy because of Jesus and to live with him on mission because of Jesus. Biblical community is essential, and I can't wait to express it again in the ways of gathering up, even though we continue to find ways to express it in this unique and strange time. I can't wait to see you guys, love you guys. This week, press into biblical community, reach out to someone, shoot a text, make a phone call, shoot out a Zoom call, bump into someone as you pop out to grab something, and let's begin the journey back into connecting. We love you guys. Let me pray for you. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you so clearly in Scripture demonstrate community not just as a thing that meets a human need because you made us to belong and you made us to be known, but that it is actually an essential part of our humanity, our created purpose, who we are because of you, that we were created in Genesis to function in community as the only means by which we can fully image you, that we were restored to community after we lost that in the fall in your redemptive work through Jesus, and we are now his body living out the mission of Jesus, displaying Jesus, and that we in this learn to do it in love toward one another, in unity toward one another, teaching and admonishing one another, stirring one another up, and just generally helping each other to hold to the clarity of the gospel. God, no wonder you make it non-negotiable that we are to be together. And we pray, God, that you would make the way quick for us to gather back up together face to face so that we can experience an expression of community again in that beautiful, close reality of proximity. In the meantime, God, help us to press into community in these unique circumstances as much as we're able until we should once again gather up together in the same place. We love you, we thank you, we honor you, and we hold fast to the gospel in you because we stir each other up toward that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, biblical community probably looks way different for you right now. But the good news is we still get to be the church, live in biblical community, and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's sing together. Your church, a united home, built by the Father, with Jesus as the cornerstone, the one who's true and better. Our praises rise to heaven's throne. In every word we speak and every song we sing, only you, only Jesus. Every place we go and every seed we sow, only you, only Jesus. All we are is all for you, Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed on him. hearts could ever need is Jesus. All that we want, all that we seek, all that our hearts could ever need is Jesus. Ever need is Jesus. All we need is you, Jesus. All that we want, all that we see, all that our hearts could ever need is Jesus. Yeah. All that we want, all that we see, all that this world will ever need is Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We love you, and we'll see you soon.